Let us turn then to the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, and let us consider again at verse 2, the last part of verse 2. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. It was, as we have noticed previously, a time when things were not well in Israel. The people had desired a king for the wrong reason. They wanted to be like the other nations. Though in Moses' time the Lord had given some directions as to a king being appointed. But there was a sense in which when they did ask for a king, they were rejecting the Lord. But the Lord had said to Samuel that he was to accept what the people were asking and he was to appoint a king. And the Lord sends him to Bethlehem, sends him to the house of Jesse, because the Lord has chosen a king there. And when Samuel is afraid that Saul will take vengeance on him if he lets it be known that he is going to Bethlehem to anoint a king, this is the Lord's answer. Take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And however important a coronation was, however important the appointment of a king was, there was something about a sacrifice that was more important. It was an act of worship, though there would have been elements of worship in connection with the anointing of the king. For the king in Israel, that was a great part of it. The king in Israel was a type of Christ. And when the Lord said that he had provided a king for him among the sons of Jesse, we are to think beyond that and say that the Lord has made choice of a king in the person of his own son, that he might be a king. And we have already noticed that they needed a sacrifice here because they were all sinners. We noticed too that God, had appointed a sacrifice for sin. He did that in a general way. And there's something more particular about what we have here. But here was a time of need. And what I wish to focus on just now is that at times of special importance, we need a sacrifice. Now that was true. There was a sacrifice to be offered up at this special time of appointing a king. Samuel is to offer up a sacrifice, and that points us to Christ, as I've mentioned. And Christ, let us notice, just in passing, for we spent some time on this matter the last time we considered this verse. Christ is altogether suitable to us in our needs, that he might be a sacrifice for us. The apostle, writing to the Hebrews, speaks of Christ as a high priest that became us, that was suitable to us. It's still the same. He was holy, harmless, undefiled. He needed not daily to offer for sins. He did this once. It's a once for all sacrifice. Yes, and he has entered into the most holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. So we in our sins are to go to Christ. And further, Christ is on the throne of glory, and he is making continual intercession. So you have two things that I want to emphasize just in a moment. And one is the suitability of Christ for us as a Savior, and the related matter of Christ as an intercessor. And again, you can say he is a suitable intercessor. Because of the sacrifice he offered. And he can intercede with the Father on the basis of the sacrifice. Now you see, all that leads us to think of occasions of special importance that we should be thinking of our need of a sacrifice. Here we are. And it might be any number of matters that disturb us, but particularly the matter of our need of sinners, our need of forgiveness, our need of being put right. Now, a sinner under conviction of sin is a sinner in a situation of special need. That sinner needs salvation. Well, that sinner needs a sacrifice. That sinner needs an intercessor. Where will we find a sacrifice that suits us? Well, we've had the answer already, of course. Christ is a suitable sacrifice. And let anyone with any degree of concern about sin go looking for the sacrifice. Where will we find the sacrifice? Or the one that offered himself up as a sacrifice? We'll find him at the throne of grace. For he is on the throne of glory. And he is saying to us, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I am the divine person that was a suitable sacrifice. And I am the divine person that as king is offering up a sacrifice. I am the divine person who is making intercession at the right hand of God. Yes. And with all that before you, listen. Listen to Christ saying to you, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be ye saved in this particular place, on this particular occasion. For he is the Savior at the right hand of power. He is the one who is making intercession with the Father. He is the one, the only one, through whom sin is possible. Now, whatever it is, whatever need, whatever set of circumstances, we need a sacrifice. We need to look to this person who offered himself up as a sacrifice. And let us notice this too, as a further point. Christ's sacrifice was accepted, so that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes. Now, after Christ ascended to heaven, you could well say that that was a time of special need for the disciples. They had been appointed disciples. They were to go out to preach the gospel everywhere. That was the commission they had been given before the Savior left them and ascended to heaven. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes? And Christ is no longer with them. Though he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, by faith, they needed to receive the promises that accompanied the commands. But what could they do? The time has not come for them to go out. The time has not come for the Holy Spirit to be granted in a special way, but you see, there they are gathering in the upper room again and again, and they pray. We read that they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now, what does that point us to? That they're praying. And if they're praying, they can only do so on the basis of a sacrifice. You may remember Abraham, and it was the same with Isaac. When they went to a new place, they built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. You see, they felt their need of a sacrifice if they were going to pray. They felt their need of a sacrifice if they were going to pray. So it should be with us. How can we approach God, even in a special time of need? We're to go boldly to the throne of grace. But on what basis? What's to be the foundation? It's this: Christ. That Christ offered himself up as sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile sinners to God, and reconcile sinners in particular, looking again and again to the sacrifice. That's the way they are to come to the throne of grace. And because of the sacrifice, and because of the suitability of the sacrifice, they are to come boldly to the throne of grace with their needs, like the disciples in the upper room. There was a huge responsibility laid upon them. And how were they to discharge that responsibility? They needed a sacrifice. They knew what that sacrifice was. They had seen Christ after he had risen from the dead. They had seen Christ, and they knew that now he had gone into the most holy place with the blood. In other words, with the evidences of the sacrifice that he had offered. Now, many a time, we need direction. If there are two ways in front of us, and we do not know which one to take, then where do we go? What do we do? One thing should be clear: it's a special time of need. So we need a sacrifice. We need to hear again these words coming to us. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me for deliverance. That's it. Look unto me for deliverance. We need the sacrifice. So we're to look. We're to look for deliverance, for the sake of the sacrifice. We're to come boldly to the throne of grace on the basis of the sacrifice, and plead the promises that there are in the word of God. Take what you have in Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. For Christ's sake, you see. That's it. Not because of ourselves, and not just because we have needs, but because a sacrifice was offered that reconciles sinners to God. Sacrifice on the basis of which intercession can be made. Yes. And on the basis of which promises can be fulfilled. Yes. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. But you see, there's another side to the matter also. Be not as the horse or the mule, or as the mule which have no understanding. They have to be led, or they'll go in the wrong direction. Well, we need to be led. A And if we're not led, we'll go astray. And we'll not be led if we're not asked. Yes. But whatever special need we have, and I just leave it generally apart from what I've said already, many a need is unknown to anyone else. But you see, it's not unknown to God. It cannot be unknown to God. Oh, what was David saying? He had found help in his time of need. I sought the Lord and he heard. Well, he was in the land of the Philistines when he felt his need. He couldn't go to offer a sacrifice. It would be very difficult for him at that time when he was pursued by Saul to go and offer a sacrifice any. But he could still remember the sacrifices that were being offered at the tabernacle. He sought the Lord and the Lord heard and delivered him out of his fear. He sought the Lord on the basis of the sacrifices that were being offered. Now I'm adding that in about the sacrifice. But David was a man who was instructed. There was a sacrifice offered every morning and a sacrifice every evening on behalf of all of Israel. And David could say, that's being done for me. Yes. And what are the people of God to say in connection with Christ presenting the merits of his sacrifice at the right hand of the Father? The believer is to say, that is done for me, and therefore I should be coming boldly to the throne of grace that I may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what is the unbeliever to say? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For the sake of the sacrifice, you see. Go to the temple and take a look at the sacrifice that is being offered up. Now, what do I mean by that? For the temple has long since been destroyed, and the sacrifices are not being offered anymore. Well, there's this in it. There's no need to offer up further sacrifices because Christ offered a sacrifice once for all. And the merits of that sacrifice, that's what Christ is presenting before the throne of God. And whatever our need of soul in particular, whatever our need of direction, whatever our need of deliverance from a very trying set of circumstances, we're to go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, there was Samuel. Samuel needed direction. Now, he had offered the sacrifice, and in a special way now he could ask for direction. Well, we're not told everything that happened, but the eldest of Jesse's sons was brought before him. That was Eliab. And Samuel was perfectly sure that this fine young man would be king over Israel. It was one of Jesse's sons, he knew that. And when the eldest one was brought, surely that was the most likely one. And especially when he looked so suitable. Well, Samuel was wrong. The Lord has his own ways of directing. He may leave people, even his own people, to go a certain distance in a particular direction. And then they find out that they were in the wrong direction, like Samuel was. And they went in an orderly way through all of Jesse's sons that were present, and the Lord refused them all. Oh, did Samuel stop at this stage and say, Lord, help us. Lord, find us a way out of this difficulty. We've been through all the sons and thou hast refused them all. But Samuel asked. It turned out that there was another son, David, and he was the youngest. So he was left to look after the sheep when all the other sons had gone to the sacrifice. It was most unlikely that David would be the one. But he was. It was the unlikely one. Well, if we're left to ourselves, we'll make many a wrong decision. I don't want to say too much about Samuel and making wrong decisions. Because, obviously, this was the way that the Lord took. And the matter came unexpectedly on Jesse. Anyway, you see, the Lord will have his own choice. And whatever blunders we may make in the way of seeking salvation and in the way of seeking direction, let us look from the place of our blunder to the Lord himself to direct. Let us look from the place of our blunder to the place of sacrifice. To the one who is on the throne of glory and presenting the merits of his sacrifice and making intercession on that basis. Yes. Here am I in my need. What am I to do? I'm to say, Lord, help. I'm to be like David, asking for deliverance. I sought the Lord and he saved. He delivered me. He delivered me from all my distress. David was in such a difficult position. He had put himself into that situation. He should have stayed in the land of Israel. And then he wouldn't have gone into that position. But now that he is in that position, what else can he do? He does what is right. He seeks the Lord's blessing. And he finds that the angel of the Lord is round about them that fear him, to deliver him. Yes. And whatever it is that we have before us. You see how James warns that we're not to say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and buy and sell. Whereas we do not know what shall be on the morrow. For he warns, your life is as a vapor which appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't even know if we will see tomorrow. What should we do? We're to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. Yes. But oh, how we should be seeking the Lord's blessing in our whole life. How we should be seeking that the Lord would care for us. How we should be seeking that the Lord would guide us. That the Lord would lead us and guide us. Yes. How we should be seeking that the Lord would lead us and guide us and direct us. See what the Lord says. I will lead the blind in a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Now, you see, we are to be bringing these things in before the Lord. Well, of course, as far as the promises are concerned, we have to have reason to believe that we have a right to them. As Jacob was saying, thou hast said, I will surely do thee good. And the Lord has said that to his people. If they cannot recall an instance in which they felt these words would apply to their souls. Yet the whole sum and substance of what the Lord is saying to those who have looked to him by faith, however weak, who are trusting not in themselves, but in the one who raises the dead, who are trusting not in themselves, but in the one who came into the world to save sinners and is now on the right hand of glory. Yes, that's the whole substance of what he is saying to his people. I will surely do thee good. And therefore, in the light of that, they are to take encouragement and come unto the Lord to bless. Now, what about the unconverted to combat? Well, let them come, trusting in the Lord, to the throne of grace. Let them take with them words, as we are encouraged to do in the prophecy of Hosea, where we are told, take with you words, turn unto the Lord, and say unto him, turn because of the sacrifice that has been offered. On the strength of the sacrifice, we're to take it with his words and turn unto the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. On what basis? On the basis of the sacrifice, of course. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Yes? Take away all iniquity. Take away all my sin. Forgive all my sin. Root out the principle of sin from my heart, though that will be the work of a life. Yes. But you see, when the offer of salvation is so clear, when the sacrifice was so suitable, and it is still so suitable, when Christ is on the throne making intercession, see that ye see that ye do not neglect so great salvation, for we are warned. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How will you escape if you neglect so great salvation? May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us...